Well, I remember the scariest words I think I've ever heard at one time being my own name. Ever had that experience? So entirely scared by the fact that your name was being said. It was a teaching assistant from West Africa. He said my name, Mr. Janikowski. And I did it as I heard that as I was waking up in a discussion session in a political science class at UW Milwaukee, my very first year there. And I was 18 or 19 years old, I guess, and first semester, you know, of college, you know what it's like. And my gosh, I was tired, and I fell asleep, and I hear him saying my name, Mr. Janikowski. And I had no idea what was going on, and I woke up. I don't know how long I dozed off. Maybe you've had this experience, waking up in the middle of something. You know something's going on. Not entirely certain what. Maybe you wake up in class, or you wake up maybe in a movie, or in a sermon, or something. I don't know, maybe that's happened to you, I don't know. Anyhow, when this happens, it might be bad or good, you know, depending on what's going on. But you awake to realize that something is going on that you haven't been aware of, right? Well, for people living in the 21st century, and dare I say, probably for most recent centuries, we think that this is the real world, don't we? What we see is what we get. That's what most of the world thinks. This is it. What we see is what is real. If we can't see it, how can we be expected to believe it, right? That's what kind of the Enlightenment mindset, since probably the 17th century forward, has kind of taught us to believe. Well, this is it. And if you can see it, you can experience it in some way. And this is real, isn't it? This is what it's all about. If it's beyond this world, I mean, if we can't, you know, somehow empirically measure it or something, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? And yet we know that there is more. We know that there's more to it. As in our life as Christians, we know that there is, kind of like I had that strange waking up moment in a political science class a long time ago. In our Christian lives, we know that there is a waking up moment to what is real. And that moment actually is called baptism. That is when things become a bit more real. In the epistle today, from the 6th chapter of the letter to the Romans, St. Paul speaks not of baptism, or he speaks of it not just as in terms of sleeping and waking, but in terms of life and death. Did you notice that? He even begins that portion that we heard from the 6th chapter. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Do you realize that? And it wasn't just some kind of nice little aquatic ceremony that we performed. We didn't just dip you into a bowl for fun and hear if the baby would scream. No, you're being baptized into his death. He says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." See, there's something big here. It's about life and death. It's not just about waking up in the middle of a classroom, or waking in the middle of a class, or waking up in the middle of a sermon or a movie. It's about actually being brought out of death into life. That's how important, that's how pivotal, that's how important our baptism is. And we know the symbolism of the great vigil of Easter. If you've been to that, you know that it's loaded with this. You can't get away from it. It's for that reason, in fact. That's why that Easter vigil is the center liturgy of the entire Christian year. It teaches that very point. It's all about moving from darkness into light. And we do that very dramatically in some ways. We move from being asleep into a state of waking, from being dead into being alive. And St. Paul uses that imagery to teach the same thing elsewhere, but he uses it in this epistle as well. "For in that he died," St. Paul says, "in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin," to be dead to what went on before, "but alive to God through Jesus Christ." And he even tells us that purchases a whole lot of things. As we're bonded to him in baptism, as we die with him, that we actually have a hope for something beyond this too. We get to see the real thing in the resurrection. That after our death, after we are refreshed after death, after we wait, after the judgment, we again will see this world. And indeed, in a fleshy way, we will stand with him again. Just as Christ went through it, and was raised from the dead with a glorious body, so will we. In that he died with a sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. A long time ago, St. Clement of Alexandria wrote about this, and he said, you know, we who are baptized wipe away the sins which, like a fog, clouded the divine spirit and block his way. And our spiritual vision is now free, unrestrained, and shining. It's with this inner eye, then, he says, that we see the Godhead when the Holy Spirit pours into us from heaven. It's much bigger than just waking up in the middle of a class when somebody calls your name. With that baptism, with incorporation into the body of Christ, the vision given to us is much greater than before. Can you imagine what it will be like when we stand again with Christ on this earth? Even clearer still. Our vision is made more clear through the lens bestowed upon us by baptism, but it also imparts upon us a new life. It has to. It also has to impart upon us a new way of walking. I'm not talking about the way that we walk or something. We don't start doing a silly walk or something. The way in which we walk. It is not to say that we're not going to sin anymore, okay? Far from it. That will still happen. Even within our walk with Christ, we still sin. But we do not dwell in it. The new life in Christ that has begun in our baptism is a life of discipleship that entails walking as Christ commands. And when we fall, because we know it's not an if, it's a when we fall, turning back to Him and attempting to follow all the more closely afterwards. So this whole process then actually affects how we live. Well, it had better, shouldn't it? Affect how we live. It's not just some kind of outward symbol, but also an inward grace. We know that from the Catechism, don't we? It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, this baptism. But it's also not just an inward grace, but it's also an outward change. As it's something that happens to us that we can see, and it affects something and a change that we can't. When it affects that change in us that we can't see, it's also going to have to affect a change in the things that everybody else can see. That's the power of baptism. That's like coming out of sleep into waking, and coming out of death into life. Bishop Charles Gore, he was the sometime bishop of actually three different dioceses, Worcester, Birmingham, and Oxford. He died in 1932. Maybe you know his name. Bishop Charles Gore wrote, "And just as Christ summed up his attitude toward the world by his death upon the cross, so the Christian's attitude to the world was summed up in his baptism." He says, at that moment he died to the world of sin. The state of deadness to sin has to be constantly renewed or again and again recovered. But it was in that sacramental moment, realized in principle and symbolically represented, the convert who was immersed beneath the baptismal waters and emerged again, realized easily that this bath of regeneration was what the early Christians called it, his grave and his mother. His grave and his mother. That's what our baptism is. Indeed, he says, all the circumstances of his baptism forced it upon him that he had passed out of an old life into a new life. That was the understanding of baptism in the early church. That's the understanding of baptism that we receive as Catholic Christians. It's not just about a ceremony. Our baptism is something real that goes with us all our life. This baptism is something that should affect a change in us. And that life that we're called into, that thing that comes out of that which is both our grave and our mother, that is the life in Christ. That is the life that we are called to by nature of our baptism. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've called us as your church. You've called us through the waters of baptism to be incorporated into the body of your Son, the mystical bride of Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might ever be faithful to that calling. We pray that when we fall, we might return to you. We pray that in all that we do, we might be faithful witnesses to the truth of the gospel of your Son. In all that we do, we might glorify your holy name. attempt to walk doing all things in accordance with your divine will. All this we ask through the same, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you in the unity of the Holy and life-giving Spirit lives and reigns ever, one God, world without end.
Amen.